Connor did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northwest as you listen. This is their story. Transport infrastructure projects across Stretford and Urmston remain stalled while engineers, construction workers, and materials sit idle. Connor's experience reveals how Treasury spending doctrine treats public investment like household budgeting, creating artificial scarcity in a region where the skills and resources to build critical transport links already exist. Here is what happened when expertise met the excuse that there was no money.
I became a civil engineer because I wanted to rebuild something my dad's generation lost. He worked at the steelworks in Trafford Park until they closed in the 1990s. Watching him struggle to find decent work after that shaped everything I thought about infrastructure and industry. When I graduated from Manchester Met, I had this clear vision: use my skills to help rebuild the industrial backbone of the Northwest, the transport links, the freight routes, the connections that would bring proper manufacturing back to places like Trafford Park. I wasn't naive about it being easy work, but I thought the technical challenges would be the hard part, not finding anyone willing to fund the projects. I started reaching out to Greater Manchester Combined Authority about getting involved in their transport schemes. They were enthusiastic at first. They had identified dozens of critical upgrades across the region, better rail connections between Manchester and the surrounding towns, electrification of lines that were still running on diesel, new freight routes to connect the ports to the industrial areas. The planning was sophisticated, the engineering was solid, the business cases showed clear economic benefits. But every conversation ended the same way: major schemes were on hold pending Treasury approval. I applied to Network Rail's Northern Hub for electrification work on the Manchester Leeds line. This was exactly the kind of project I had trained for. The route needed upgrading desperately. Journey times were slow, capacity was limited. The environmental benefits of electrification were obvious. They brought me in for interviews. They liked my technical background. Then they told me the project had been deferred indefinitely due to spending constraints. Not cancelled, they were careful to emphasise, just postponed until central government could find the money. Transport for the North gave me the same response. They had mapped out a comprehensive upgrade programme for rail and road links across the region. The economic analysis was compelling. Local businesses were demanding better freight connections. Passenger services needed more capacity. But central government had not allocated the capital funding. They showed me detailed proposals that had been sitting on desks in Whitehall for months. Technical work completed, environmental assessments done, community consultations finished, all waiting for someone in London to sign off on the spending. I tried Highways England about the A57 bypass that has been promised to this area for decades. The traffic through the villages is appalling. Heavy freight lorries grinding through residential streets because there is no proper route. Local councils have been campaigning for a bypass since the 1990s. The project officer was sympathetic. The business case was strong, he said, but HM Treasury required them to demonstrate value for money over longer timescales. The financial modelling had to show returns over 30 years, not 10. Every assumption had to be conservative. Every risk had to be quantified. The threshold for approval kept getting higher. At every institution, the message was identical: there is no money. The projects were good. The need was urgent. The technical solutions were ready, but the government could not afford to fund them. It sounded reasonable at first. Everyone accepts that money is tight, budgets have limits, priorities have to be set. I started looking for other opportunities, thinking maybe I needed to wait for a better economic climate. Then I started noticing things that did not fit this explanation. The Construction Training Centre in Trafford Park sits half empty despite a waiting list of unemployed workers wanting courses. I visited it one afternoon, brand new equipment sitting unused, workshops that could train dozens of people in exactly the skills these transport projects needed. But they only run courses when there are confirmed job placements. No placements, no training, no training, no skilled workers, no skilled workers, no infrastructure projects. It was a perfect circle that kept everyone stuck. My neighbour Dave has been a crane operator for 15 years. He worked on major construction projects across Manchester until last year. Now, he has been out of work for 8 months, not because he lacks skills, not because there is no demand for his expertise, but because the transport projects that would employ him are all on hold pending Treasury approval. He spends his days fixing cars for neighbours just to keep busy. His crane operator certification is current. His safety training is up to date. He is ready to work tomorrow if anyone would commission the projects. The concrete plant in Carrington is running at quarter capacity. I drive past it every week. Massive facility designed to supply major construction projects. The equipment is modern. The workforce knows what they are doing, but orders are sparse because infrastructure spending has been cut back. The materials needed for transport upgrades are sitting there, ready to be produced, while officials in London explain that there is no money for the projects that would use them. Steel fabrication yards across Salford have workers on 3-day weeks. These are skilled trades that take years to learn properly. Men and women who can fabricate the structural components for bridges, rail infrastructure, major road schemes. They are working part-time, not because their skills are obsolete, but because the government has decided it cannot afford the transport projects that would employ them full-time. The capacity exists. The expertise exists. The demand exists. What does not exist is the political will to spend the money that would connect them. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to fund the transport links that would transform this region. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the engineers existed, whether the construction workers could do the job, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The unused training centre, Dave with his crane operator certification, the concrete plant running at quarter capacity, the steel fabricators on short weeks, everything needed for these transport projects was sitting right here, idle. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. When officials said there was no money for the Manchester Leeds electrification, they meant the Treasury had chosen not to authorise the spending. When they said the A57 bypass was unaffordable, they meant someone in Whitehall had decided other priorities mattered more. The constraint was never the money. The constraint was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I understand now that this is not just my story, or just about transport in the Northwest. It is the story of every region where expertise and need exist side by side, while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare. The engineers are here. The workers are here. The projects are planned and ready. What is missing is not money, but the political decision to use the money that already exists to fund the infrastructure this country needs.
What Connor experienced has a name, logical fallacy. A false analogy compares two things that are fundamentally different and treats them as equivalent. Like saying a goldfish bowl is similar to the ocean because both contain water, ignoring that one is a closed system and the other connects to vast currents and cycles. Every time Connor was told there is no money, officials were applying this false analogy. They treated the UK government budget like Connor's household budget. When Connor needs to buy materials for a home project, he genuinely must find the money first. He earns pounds, saves pounds, then spends them. If his savings account is empty, he cannot afford the materials. but the UK government issues the pound. It does not need to find pounds before spending them. When officials told Connor that transport projects were unaffordable, they were pretending that Westminster worked like his household. Treasury approval was not delayed because the government had run out of currency. It was delayed because Treasury doctrine treats public spending as though Britain were a family saving up for an extension. The real constraint was never financial. The engineers existed. The construction workers existed. The concrete plant existed. The steel fabrication yards existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Stretford and Urmston ranks 226 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 5. The constituency has 740 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales, and received £15.1 million in total grants, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.